I don't know another sefer of shmuzis in yeshiva. Minchas Chena. I found one in yeshiva. It must be another volume. Anybody coming to Beit Shemesh Shabbos? What? Leave it there? You were just there. I'll try to get it here. Okay, so if anybody needs any other, wants more to say, more to think about, for the say there should be, it's about 10, 12, 13, 14 years of Shiurim online, and we'll try not to repeat, so feel free, the past 6, 7 years is on the OU website, and before that should be on the YU website. So it should be, once in a while we repeat, and the things I say outside, everything they have in front of you, except for one thought I might have mentioned before, but everything in front of you is a new packet for Tavshin Ayin Hay. Okay, let's get started. So what we do is we just go through the Haggadah, go straight through, and we'll try to do almost everything in the packet in front of you, and I'll try to throw in some other fan favorites throughout our discussion. Okay, we start off with the end, because before you start, you have to know what your goal is. If you don't know what your goal is, you don't know where you're going, get a chair, please sit. Everybody sit. Enough chairs. Enough. You have to know where you're going. So we know there is an ancient custom to say Shir HaShirim at the end of the Seder. I remember, as a child, everybody else cleaning up and falling asleep, my father's still sitting there at the table saying Shir HaShirim. There's an ancient minhag of saying Shir HaShirim, and we meet Shir HaShirim on Chol HaMoed Pesach, Shabbos Chol HaMoed. There is no Shabbos Chol HaMoed this year, but in general, we read it on Pesach. What exactly is the... Just take notes, and then you'll get the packets after. What exactly is the reason we say Shir HaShirim at the end? Says Rav Pinkus in his Haggadah. I'm not going to read so much inside, but the first page is from Rav Pinkus in the Tiferes Shimshon. Shir HaShirim, as we know, is a mashal of a man and a woman and the love between them. There are certain things that we share with acquaintances of ours. There are certain things that we share with even more with friends. There are some things we share even more with best friends. We'll be even more open with them. And then there are some things you share with your family, even more than you would share with the first group of people. And then you share the most with your spouse. There are certain things that only a husband and wife know. Nobody else knows. Not the kids, not the other family members. And as you radiate out, it gets less and less. But as you radiate in from strangers, acquaintances, friends, best friends, family, spouse, that's the ultimate connection. A husband and a wife. A man and a woman. That's the goal. The goal is to feel that way about Hashem. The goal is to share everything. To realize we share our lives with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why he quotes from the Torah Dvorah, the Ramak, towards the bottom, that Shechina cannot be shomer on somebody fully until they're married. Why? Because until somebody's married, they can't fully appreciate what I'm supposed to feel about Hashem. If I don't know what a spouse is, then I can't know how close I'm supposed to feel to God. But that's Shir HaShirim. And that has to be in our back of our minds as we start, because that's where we're heading. And that's the goal of this most special night of the year. So, you're allowed to say some of these Divrei Torah during the day meals also. Feel free to share them whenever one can. Okay, so we start with a simanim. We start with a simanim, page number 3. Page 2 and 3, to the Sefer, the Haggadah Gdola Yerushalayim. We move on to Kadesh. Kadesh, Orchaz, Karpas, Yachaz. We said this last year, but I say it every year because it's something that we always have to keep in mind. The Simanim, there's no other time or day of the year that we announce what we're doing before we do it. Shofar! No. Kadesh, Orchaz. So we give the mashal, and one of Rabbi... Sender Sfari gives the mashal of taking a trip. You go on a trip. You wake up in your hotel room. You're like, okay, I want to do this today. You call up. Oh, they're only open on Tuesdays. Oh, you want to go here? Oh, you got to make a reservations beforehand. You go here. If you don't have an itinerary before your trip, you're not going to be able to get the most out of it. You have an itinerary. I'm going to do this then and this the next day, and you use every single moment. The simanim, this is our itinerary for our trip. Our trip called Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. We know where we want to go. We just said, Shir HaShirim. This is the way to get there. Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpatz. And we stop at every tachana in order to get the most out of it each time. So the first one is Kadesh. Kadesh. This is a specially good thought for those who are going to be in Chutz La'aretz for Pesach, but it even applies to those who will be in Eretz Yisrael. Kadesh, Kiddush, sanctification, and Havdalah are both about separating. It's just that we call it Kiddush when we go up in Kedusha, right? When we go from weekday to Shabbos, when we go from Yantar to Shabbos, Kiddush. And when we go down in Kedusha, we call it Havdalah. That's why, this is a thought to say on the second night, at your second Seder, when you're doing Kiddush and Havdalah. Motzi Shabbos. First Seder is Friday night, second Seder in Chutz La'aretz is Motzi Shabbos, when you're making Havdalah in Kiddush. Ask Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, page 6 in the Haggadah Gedolah Yerushalayim. We know Chazal tell us that every day of creation, it says Ki Tov, except for day 2. Day 2 doesn't get a Ki Tov. That's why some people don't like to get married on Mondays. Tuesday, yes, there's a double Ki Tov. But why not Monday? Why doesn't it say Ki Tov? Say Chazal, because there was separation. And separation is not good. There was separation on day 2. Why? The upper waters and the lower waters. Yikavu amayim. So Hashem put some water above the heavens and some water below the heavens. So that's why it's not good to have separation. And that is why, you know, it doesn't say Ki Tov on day 2. Ask of Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. But 1 minute. Day 1 also had a separation. Vayavdel Elokim bein ha'or uvein ha'choshech. And day 1 has a Ki Tov. So why is day 2 so bad? It doesn't get a Ki Tov. So day 1 also has separation. It says of Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, it depends what you're separating. If you're separating a unit, one unit, it's supposed to be together, it's one thing, then separating it is no good. You have water. Water is water. You're putting some water up, some water below. You're right, it has to be, but it's not really a siman bracha. Items that are supposed to be separated because they're different and they're even opposite of each other, then it's a Ki Tov to separate. Or and Choshech are meant to be separated. Mayim and Mayim are not. Am Yisrael and Am Yisrael are not meant to be separated. Achdus is what we believe in. But Bein Yisrael wa'amim, that's Ki Tov. Because we realize and recognize the difference even between a higher Kedusha and a lower Kedusha, Shabbos and Yontif, as we do in Kiddush and Havdalah. So we sanctify and we separate, but life's about knowing when to separate and when to unify. If it's Am Yisrael, if it's one unit, so then separating is not supported. But if it's Bein Yisrael wa'amin, Bein Or l'choshech, Bein Kedusha Shabbos l'Kedusha Yontif, so that's a good separation because we appreciate each one for what it is and they are very different from each other. Kadesh. Urchatz, we will not talk about this year. Good question, why is there a vav there? The only one that gets a vav throughout the question. That's homework. Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas. Karpas. So we're not going to, there's a thought, feel free to listen to previous years about Karpas, about why is it called Karpas, what does the word Karpas mean? We'll focus on a thought this year from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The top of the next page. Babish Rebbe notes that we say in the Manish Tana that this is the only night of the year that we dip things. Halayla Zeh, we dip twice. And the other nights of the year, we don't dip anything. Never dip. Ask Lubavitcher Rebbe, I don't understand. Yes, we do. We do karpas. Karpas is a minhag, right? That's said in the Gemara so that the kids should ask. So we dip. What about dipping challah in salt every time we eat? That's also a minhag that we do, and it's called in Shulchan Aruch, like karpas is. What about dip the apple in the honey? So we do dip other times. What's the difference between karpas and the apple and the challah? Says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, no, there's a difference. Because the other times of the year, we're not dipping b'toras dipping. It's not like we're supposed to focus on the dipping. You know why we dip the challah in the salt so the challah tastes good? You know why we dip the apple in the honey? Because we want a sweet apple. It's the result. It's not the maisa, if you want to use Lamdish terms. It's the result. It's good challah. It's sweet apples. You know why we dip karpas? Because we want people to see the dipping and say, what's going on here? It's the dipping itself that's the focus. See what he says? This is not a dipping ceremony, but a salt ceremony that is evolved in such a way that it involves some dipping over there. But tonight is the only occasion when normative Jewish practice requires dipping for dipping's sake. So it's dipping per se. So Kaddish, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz. Yachatz, we split the... Actually, we're going to start with the bottom of the page, 4, and then going over to page 5. We split the matzah, we cut the matzah, we put the bigger piece away for Afikomen, and we put the middle part inside the matzah. Why do we do this? Because we want to create lechem oni. We want to create a poor man's bread. A poor man only has pieces of matzah, doesn't have whole matzahs. And we want to save the Haggadah, we want to save the Magid on this matzah, with the matzah in front of us. That's why almost all whole Magid, the matzah is uncovered. So that's why we break it now, even though we're not going to eat it for another couple hours. Parenthetically, halachic issue, how many matzahs does one have at the Seder? So the Shulchan Aruch Paschal is like Rov Rishonim, 3. Because you want to break the matzah for it to be lechem oni, plus to have 2 whole matzahs for lechem mishnah. That's why we have 3. Yes, the Haggadah is a Kohen Levi Yisrael, Torah Vim Ksuvim. Whenever you have 3, you can Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. But why do you have 3? Because you want lechem mishnah. Teimanim, follow the Rambam. Teimanim, only have 2. It's broken. Okay, this is lechem mishnah for Pesach. It's redefined. Sipur redefines many different mitzvahs that we do that night. Okay? Separate topic, not for now. So we break it. But ask the Shemen HaTov in his Haggadah, came out last year. Dov Weinberger. Shemen HaTov. If you would ask any kid, what's your highlight of the Seder? What do you look forward to? What do you focus on? The answer will probably be taking the Afikomen. After Yachatz, that's when the strategies, they're like staring, where does the father put it? You distract him and take it. Like that's the whole Seder, up until a certain age. Where did this come from? He asks. And there's got to be some symbolism to it. Of Yachatz, of the kids being involved, whether you want to call it stealing the Afikomen, whether you want to call it taking the Afikomen, the kids are very involved here. They're bargaining. What are you going to give me? They're in control. What else in halacha the whole year, are like by the end of the Seder, the parents have to go to the kids. Okay, where is it? No, I'm in charge. Where else do you have such a thing? Says the Shemana Tov, an amazing thought. And this is going over to page 5. We call the Afikomen Safun. Right? Well, we're breaking by Yachatz. We call it safun, hidden. It's hidden away. Why do we hide it? We hide it away for later. You know what message we're giving the kids by taking something now, letting them put it away for later? The geula is also safun. Mashiach's not here yet. We're showing the kids you're in control of the hidden geula. You're in control. It's up to you. You want to grab it?
You're in control. Because that's safun. When are we going to eat this? Right before we say Lashon HaBa Yerushalayim. We're going to eat this all the way at the end. What you do now could affect the future. So that's what he says on the bottom right. Demarim litzeirim, de be'emes toli agula shlema banu, it's toli on us. And we tell them, through your actions, we can make it happen. We can make it happen. So now we get up to Makkid. And of course, this is the major event of the evening. Sipur, Yetzias Mitzrayim, everything is part of it, but this is where we start talking about the paragraphs. And we start off with Halach Ma'anya. Halach Ma'anya, page 6 now. The Haggadah called Asapra Kavotcha. There's a set of Svarim, you might have seen them, a Karasa L'Shabbos Oneg, there's 3 volumes, and there's 1 Hele Hemoadai. So in that set, there's a Haggadah also called Asapra Kavotcha. So there, he asks, at the end of Halach Ma'anya, we know, we invite guests. Why are we doing Hachnasas Orachim now? At the beginning of the Seder. Yes, Avram is Keneged Pesach, and Avram was a Machnas Oreach, but why Dafka now? And we might even add a question that many ask. If you really wanted to invite, you should have done it in Shul. We don't even do it with the door open. We open the door later on for Eliyahu HaNavi. Now the door's closed, we're all sitting at the table. We're not really inviting. So why are we saying that we're inviting? Why are we declaring that we're inviting? So there is a thought we mentioned in past years from Rav Soloveitchik, where the Rav said, maybe it's, we'll get to what the answer on the sheet in a second. The Rav said that only a free man could invite. The butler does not invite guests. The hired help doesn't invite guests. Only a balabas invites guests. So at the beginning of the Seder, when we're acting like B'nai Chorin, it's not really an inviting, but it's an act of inviting which reflects that we're free. Because this is something that a free man does. In the in Agadir, Asaba Kavotla, he has another idea, where he says, Hachnasas Orechim brings close those who should be brought close and distances those who should be distanced. What does that mean? It's an amazing Medrash he quotes. The Medrash says in the Yalkut Shimoni, it's also Gemara in Sanhedrin, Hachnasas Orechim led to the Geula of Am Yisrael. How so? Moshe Rabbeinu runs to Midian, and he helps out Yisro's daughters. Yisro's daughters go back, and Yisro's like, hey, you came back quickly today. What happened? Yeah, some Mitzri guy helped us out. Some Mitzri guy, go get him, go bring him. And they brought him, and he lived there, and he married one of the girls, and he became Moshe Rabbeinu. And Yisro was brought into Jewish history, all because of Hachnasas Orechim. Hachnasas Orechim planted the seeds for Geula. And on the other hand, there are only 2 nations that the Torah tells us you're not allowed to marry ever, even if they convert. Mitzrayim, after a couple of generations, they're okay. Only 2, Ammon and Moab, the males. What's so bad about Ammon and Moab? Why can't we marry them? You don't have to look in the Achronim. The Torah says. The Torah says in Parshas Kisetze, Asher lo kidmu aschem b'lachem uv'mayim b'derech b'tzeis chemim Mitzrayim. Because on our way out of Egypt, we stop by these nations, which should have helped us out a little bit. After all, they only exist because our forefather Abraham helped out their forefather Lot and saved him, and yet they didn't even bring out bread and water to us in the desert. You know what Hashem says? They are so anti what we believe in. Kfuyei tova. They don't do the basic Hachnasas Orechim. They're not allowed into our nation. So a lack of Hachnasas Orechim moves away who shouldn't be with us, while proper hachnasas orachim brings close those who should be brought close. We start the Seder as we gather around those who we want to be with us with the mitzvah of hachnasas orachim, reminding us of this, the power of this mitzvah. There's a lot. Okay, I have to control myself and focus on what's in front. If there's time at the end, we'll add in a few more things. Okay, Manishtana, next paragraph. Manishtana halayla zeh mikol halaylos. Remember, everyone should say this, not just a little child. The Rambam's Lashon and the Aruch HaShulchan picks up on it, that ma is not just a question, but it's also a statement. Like, ma rabu ma'asecha Hashem. How great are your actions, Hashem. Manishtana halayla zeh. How awesome and different is this night. So it's a question and it's a statement. But the question is asked, why are there so many questions tonight? Why do there have to be so many questions? Why do we have to say everything in a question form? We don't just say, the wise son says, the Tom said, no, the wise son asks, the Tom asks. At the end of Magen, what do we say? Pesach is. Pesach al Shema. Matz al Shema. It's a question. Just say it. Everything's questions. Questions and then answers. That's one of the crucial differences between the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim every day of our lives and the mitzvah of Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is only one night of our life. So why are there so many? Why does that have to be a question and answer form? Says the Menchas Chaim. Menchas Chaim is Rabbi Allbound from Queens. He has a Haggadah out. He has a Sefer on Hilchos Shuva. Anybody here from a shul? Anyway, so says the Menchas Chaim on the next page. Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim is a really hard mitzvah. It's really hard. The Brisker Rav said it's the hardest mitzvah of the year. To feel like we went out of Mitzrayim, that's like really hard. How do we feel that? Especially if you can just have the attitude of been there, done that. It's another Pesach. We know this already. We've been through these mitzvahs already. Remember last year, the matzah wasn't as good. Like we're thinking about our previous experiences. The only way to get into it, the only way to deepen our appreciation is to ask questions. Because questions bother us. And questions get our curiosity moving. Oh, interesting. I never heard that before. That's a new way to look at it. Questions awaken us. And that's why we do it in that form. Whenever you hear a great shiur, it starts off with like five questions. Because that gets you excited. That gets you into it. You don't give the answer before you get the questions. It's all about the presentation. Right? If you're reading a book, there are a lot of questions at the beginning you don't get answers to until later on. So that's what we need to do. We need to have it in the form of questions in order to get us into it and deepen our appreciation and make sure that we have the experience that we should have. So then we move on to Avadim Hayinu Leparo Ben Mitzrayim. Manishtana, here's the answer. Avadim Hayinu Leparo Ben Mitzrayim, we were Avadim, this is a Kiyum, we'll get to this later, of Maschil Bignus Umishtayim Bishvach. We start off in our lowly state, Avadim Hayinu, and we end up talking about we were freed. We pass it both like Rabbi Shmuel, as we'll see Be'ez Hashem a little bit later. Avadim Hayinu. And what do we see at the end of Avadim Hayinu? If Hashem wouldn't have taken us out, we would still be there. Hare Anu Vaneinu. Now we're going to the Otras HaTorah Haggadah on the next page, next two pages. If we wouldn't have taken us out, then we would still be there. The Medrash tells us a little sharper. Not only if Hashem wouldn't have taken us out. If Hashem wouldn't have taken us out at that second, we would still be there. Because Kabbalistically we were on the 49th level of Tumah, another second, we would no longer be identified as Zera Avraham. And that's it. No more promise to the Avos. Nothing. There's no more Zera Avraham. The godless and the chashivus of 1 second. He even points out, we know, we rushed out, so we only had matzah. We couldn't get chametz. We couldn't eat chametz. What's the difference if you look at the words of chametz and matzah? They both have a mem, and they both have a tzadi. One has a ches, and one has a hay. The only difference is that little top of the hay that connects on top to the roof. That's the tiny little thing. A tiny little thing, but it makes up all the difference of the world. Chametz to matzah. Isser kares, oser b'mashu. Staying in Mitzrayim another second, having chametz. Matzah. We left a little bit. That's the difference. But life's a game of seconds. Every second plays a role. And he also quotes this from the Ksav Sofer, who gives a pshat of Ushmartem es amatzos, guard the matzah, make sure it doesn't become chametz. Why? Ki be'etzem ayom hazeh oseisi sivosechem, because it took you out of Mitzrayim. What's the connection? Make sure it stays matzah, because it's about seconds. I took you out of Egypt in that very last second. And that's why you have to guard your matzahs. And he even quotes the Medrash. It's an amazing Medrash in Parshas Toldos. The Medrash says, Rashi quotes it in Parshas Toldos, as Yaakov left the tent, after getting the brachos, Esav walks in the other side. At that second, right after he got the brachos, Esav walks in. Imagine if Esav had walked in a minute earlier. Or if Yaakov would have stayed an extra minute. Jewish history would be different. Because life's a game of seconds, right? They say life's a game of inches. I think a couple of years ago, like a Super Bowl ended like on the half-yard line, right? The guy couldn't get there. He dove and he reached. That was it. He lost the Super Bowl. Right? It's inches. It's inches. It's seconds. It's inches. That's what life's about, and that's what we say, Hashem, if you would have taken us out that very second, we would still be there. Okay. That's Avadam. There's more by Avadam Hayinu. If you remember, we mentioned something in Parsha Shmos, the difference between Avadam Hayinu and Avdei Paro Hayinu. If you remember that, but again, not for now. Maisa, Rabbi Elazar. Now we're up to where it says Rabbi Bernstein on top. This is Rabbi Emanuel Bernstein's Haggadah. There was a Rav in England, Rabbi Isaac Bernstein. His son is Rabbi Emanuel Bernstein, who's a Rav in Kishir Ben Yerushalayim. Came out with Haggadah this past year. His sister lives in Beit Shemesh. She gave me the Haggadah. Anyway, so he asked, we know the story, Maisa, the five rabbis in Bnei Brak, and they're talking about, you see us Mitzrayim all night, until their Talmidim, their students come and say, you got to stop, it's time to say Kriya Shema. Questions on basically every line of that whole paragraph. Just parenthetically, a quick one. Why did they dafka go to Bnei Brak? They all lived in five different places. Why Bnei Brak? Who was the rabbi in Bnei Brak? Rabbi Akiva. They all lived about 150 years after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And it's pretty depressing to have a Seder 100 years after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. You call this a Seder? Like the current Pesach is missing. It used to be here. And it was a hard time in Jewish history. Rabbi Akiva, throughout Shas, is the one that is the optimist. Is the one that gives chizuk to everybody around him. Five or six stories. Right? You all know the Gemara at the end of Makos. You see the wolf walking on Harabayas. Everybody else is crying. Rabbi Akiva is laughing. The ultimate optimist. I know the other Nebuah is going to come true. There's a Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin. The Talmidim go to visit Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar's on his deathbed. They're all crying. Rabbi Akiva's laughing. I see, Baruch Hashem, you're getting some punishment in this world. So in the next world, you'll be awesome. It's always positive. Many stories. They went to Rabbi Akiva's town, Bnei Brak, to get chizik from him. Him being the optimist. But the question is also asked, why did the students interrupt? They were busy doing a mitzvah, osig b'mitzvah, patur mina mitzvah. And besides, it wasn't, according to most, it wasn't the end of the zman. It was like zman, it was netzachama. So let him continue the mitzvah. Why'd they have to stop? Zman kriya shma shel shachris. Says Rabbi Bernstein right here on page 10. Because the goal of Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim is Kabbalah Somalcha Shemayim. The goal of the Sefer is to recognize that Hashem's in charge of me. So the students were telling the Rebbe, you're doing it, but this is the goal. The goal is Shema. That's the goal of what you're doing. So it's not pater from a different mitzvah. You're being always thinking of the mitzvah to gain the recognition of Shema. So stop. So now it's time to say Shema. It's not a hefsek, but it's exactly what Sefer should lead into. And then we go into, after the five rabbi story, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Haredi ben Shimon Shana. I am like 70 years old, v'lo zachisi, and I was in Zoche. Okay, I'm not going to do it outside to save time, but you have a nice thought here from the Haggadah's Kol Aryeh on page 11. I'll just mention something quickly. Just keep in mind, this paragraph, Pashtus, is here for us to understand the opposite of this paragraph. This paragraph is about the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, which applies every day and night of our life. We have a mitzvah to remember Mitzrayim, which we do, the last pasuk of Shema. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Hoseisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. That pasuk is a mitzvah saseh daraisa, to remember Mitzrayim every day and night of our life. One night a year, we have a mitzvah of Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim. And there are many differences between the two. One is very short, one is very long. One is a statement, one has to be questions and answers. One is remembering the event. Two includes praise, includes Talmud Torah, includes a lot of other elements. So this paragraph is really here to contrast Zechira and Sefer. Okay, there's more, but let's continue. And then we get to the Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Kineged Arba Banim Dibra Torah. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, and the four sons. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik has an amazing idea. I might have mentioned this last year, not on your sheets, where he says, you know, it's a little difficult to think that we're labeling children at the Seder. We don't usually do that. You're a Chacham, you're a Rasha. Says Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, we're not really labeling. Really, these four are four stages of our own development. We start off as babies, eino yodei lishaol. We don't have any questions. Our life is our mother and the milk, and that's it. We go up to what he calls the dependent stage, toddler. What do little kids ask? What's this? What's this? What's this? What does the Tom say? Mazos. Tom is the next stage up. Then we get to the what he calls rebellious stage, the Russia, teenage, whatever you want to call it, the third stage, and finally the Chacham, which is independence. Says Rav Aaron, the four stages are not mutually exclusive. All of us have a little bit of a Russia in us, and a little Tom in us, and a little Chacham in us, hopefully one more than the other. So really, we're asking the questions that each of our personalities, each of the elements within us, would be expressing. But we're not labeling. Okay. But two thoughts, one on the Chacham, one on the Rasha. I'm sorry, they're out of order. First, I have the Rasha. This is from Rabbi Jonathan Sachs' Haggadah, page 12. What exactly is the Rasha saying wrong? A question that many Haggadahs deal with. Ma... What does the Rasha say? Ma ha'avodah azos pachem. What is this avodah that you're doing? He has an unbelievable diuk. He says, if you look in the Torah, we know each of the sons are really quoting psukim. If you look in the Torah, by the other three sons, by the psukim that we quote for the other three sons, the Tam and the Ein Yelashon and the Chacham, the Torah prefaces it by, your son will ask, ki yish'alcha bincha, the following. If you look by the Rasha, V'haya ki yomru aleichem b'neichem. It says they will say, not ask. The Rosh is not asking a question. Sometimes people ask us tell us a statement in question form. Sometimes you're talking to somebody and you know they don't want to hear what you're talking about. Sometimes they're like anti-whatever. You'll talk to somebody who's like somewhat anti-religious, whatever, and they'll like ask a question, but they don't really want to know the answer. They're asking a question and answer they're saying a statement in question form. Yeah, what is this? What is this? That's the Rasha. Ma. Havoda zos lachem. He's not really asking a question. He's making a statement. What is this? That's the ma. And it's alluded to by the fact that in the Torah, the previous word is kiyomru, not kiyisholcha. Kiyomru aleichem b'necha. That's the word ma. Avoda, says Rabbi Sachs. You know what the Rosh is bothered by? What's the difference between serving Paro and serving God? Here I was a slave, and here I'm a slave. I don't get it. I want to be free. And says Rabbi Sachs, he has a great line. The rebellious child understands freedom to mean having no master at all. He has yet to understand that freedom is not the ability to do what you like, it's the ability to do what you ought. Meaning, if people do whatever they want, they're not free. They're slaves to cars, to money, to movies, to sports, to anything. If that's your drive, that's the center of your, I can do whatever I want. No. Freedom doesn't mean the slave to do whatever you, doesn't mean the right, to the ability to do whatever you want. Freedom means the ability to choose what is correct. Bechira chavshis, that's freedom. He doesn't understand that, because we are free. That's, so we discussed the ma, the avoda, and then he says the lachem, taking himself out of the cloud, separating himself from the destiny of the Jewish people. So three out of those four words represent the problem. Next page, and what about the chacham? Chacham ahu omer? What does the Chacham say? Now we're on the Haggadah Lekach Balibuv, page 13. The Chacham Ahu Omer, it says on top. So again, many ask, what's the difference between the Rasha and the Chacham? But the Rasha also says, Maha Eidus V'Achukim Asher Tziva Hashem Elokeinu Eschem, you, says the Lekach Balibuv. It's an amazing Ha'ara. Karban Pesach is the only Karban that the Kohen does not get anything. The Bialim eat it all. You don't give a portion to the Kohen. Why is that? It's a kashay kalim. Why doesn't the Kohanim get? Says the Lekach Balibuv, Rav Avram Shor, because on the Pesach night, we are all Kohanim. Mamleches Kohanim v'goy kadosh. And that's why, even though we're eating it in our house, in the hotel, in the apartment, wherever it is in Yerushalayim, we have to eat it al hasova, as we become satiated. That's a din in kudshim. Because we're all kohanim. And that's why, he says, some explain, we wear a kittel. It's like the big day kahuna. And maybe that's what the Chacham is bothered by. What are these was? Eschem, you, all of you, you're not Kohanim. What are you doing? What are we eating karbanas for? What are we so involved for? And what do we answer him? Meaning you have to eat the carbon at the end. Meaning we're saying we're all Kohanim. We're acting like Kohanim. We're eating it at the end as we become full. That's what the Chacham is asking. And we answer. Okay. Again, we could spend the whole hour on each of these paragraphs. But next, Yochel Erev Chodesh. Yochel Erev Chodesh. I might think that the mitzvah of Sipur starts from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Tamalomar Bayomahu. No. You got to wait till Pesach night. Not even Erev Pesach, Pesach night. What's the Hav Amina? Right, everybody asks, well, this is a Medrash. What's the Hav Amina that we would start Sibri Tzias Mitzrayim before Pesach, from Rosh Chodesh Nisan? Says Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Drash Moshe, the bottom left of the same page. Says Rav Moshe, because Hashem promised on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And if Hashem promises something, our emuna is as if it has happened. Hashem says, Achorish Ezel Lachem, Rosh Chodeshim, Rosh Chodesh. This is the Chodesh of Geula. So I might have thought that it already happened. Ikeilu, we have to treat, we have to already celebrate. So the answer is no, you don't. But that's the Havamina. A number of Svarim quote Reb Chaim Soloveitchik that says maybe this is the Pshat also in a pasuk we say every morning. Vani b'chastecha v'tachti. Hashem, I was boteach in your chesed. Yogel libi b'shuasecha. My heart's happy. But ashira l'Hashem, when will I sing? When will I act? Ki gamaloi. Only when it happens to me. Only when it actually happens. I could have bitachon that it's going to happen. Vani b'chastecha v'tachti. But ashira l'Hashem, I only say halel. Ki gamaloi. Only when it happens. Okay. Mitchila ovdei avodah zara hayu avoseinu. Next paragraph. Our forefathers were ovdei avodah zara, and now Hashem has brought them close. So this, as we mentioned earlier, this is the second half of Maskil Begnus u'Masayim b'Shvach. We started off by talking about the lowliness. That was avodah mayinu. As Machlokas Rav and Shmuel in the Gemara, we do both. Avodah mayinu, we were physically enslaved, and here mitchila ovdei avodah zara hayu avoseinu. Rabbi Lau in his Agada, former chief rabbi, has an amazing comment on top of the next page. He says, what do these two symbolize? Avodah Mayinu and Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Avodah Mayinu is the national slavery we were in. Avodah Mayinu. We were socially enslaved as a nation. Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah, the religious persecution. We were Ovdei Avodah Zarah. We were spiritually enslaved. Pesach celebrates both our religious freedom and our national freedom. And they need to go together. And this is classic Rabbi Lam. You can't have religious freedom and not be involved in the nation. And you can't be involved in the nation without having your religion. You got to have Torah, and you got to have Am Yisrael. Right? You can't build a nation, you can't build a country without Torah, but if you're just focused on Torah, then the country's going to lose. That's Avodah Mayinu, and Mitzchili Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Hayu Avosein. Weiter. Next paragraph, same page. Baruch Shomer Haftachas Ol Yisrael. Blessed is Hashem, who kept his promise to Am Yisrael, that Hashem was Machashiv the Kates, etc. Says the Aruch HaShulchan in his Agada, the Lel Shimurim. Right, the question asked in this paragraph is, oh, Hashem kept his promise, great. What's so great about that? Says the Aruch HaShulchan, maybe Yisrael here has a deeper meaning. Yisrael here doesn't only mean he kept his promise to Am Yisrael, but it means Yisrael Yaakov Avinu. Because, and this is an amazing suggestion, he says in Parshas Miketz Vayigash, when Yaakov hears that Yosef is alive, what does the Torah say? Yaakov says, I'm going to go down to Mitzrayim so I can see Yosef before I die. Suggest the Aruch HaShulchan, when Yaakov left Eretz Canaan, he didn't think he was moving to Egypt. He thought he was going down to see Yosef, he was going to come back. That was the plan. I'm going to leave Eretz Israel. I'll go there, I'll get some food, I'll come back. But what happens in Vayigash? He has a dream. He has a Maros Halayla. And Hashem says to him, Yaakov, you're going to go down to Egypt and you're going to stay there. But this is what the nation needs to begin. You have to be there. This is a fulfillment of the Bris Ben Abasarim. You're not coming back. Except after 120. Wasn't exactly 120. Right? After 147. So Hashem, and then eventually your nation's going to come up. Baruch Shomer, Hashem kept his promise to Yisrael, Yaakov Avinu, as the Av that represents Yisrael. That's Baruch Shomer, Haftachas Ol Yisrael. It wasn't just in general the Brit Ben Abbasarim, but the promise he gave to Yaakov Avinu, you have to change your mind. You're going down there. You're going to live in Goshen. You have to go down there. Okay. The next page, it's an amazing thought, but it'll take us the rest of the time, so I'm not going to do it. I might have mentioned it in past years. Rav Asher Weiss has a great thought on Lavan, based on a Gra. Page 15, that's on Seu Lamad, right? Behisha Amda leads into Seu Lamad. And I've mentioned that in past years, so I'm not going to mention it now, but it was never been in the Haggadah packet, so that's why it's here. Feel free to do it. But after that, we have the Psukim. Going to the next page. We have the Psukim, so I'd like to pick out one Pasuk. One of the Psukim we darshan is where you have the Siach HaGrid on the top right from Rav Soloveitchik's Haggadah. Vayomer El Paro Lagur Ba'aretz Banu. We have about 6 pages of Psukim. This is where, like, some people at the time do, okay, let's get moving. Let's get to Dayenu. No, but you have to focus on the Psukim too. But so here's one or two thoughts on the Psukim. So the Pasuk says, we never really focus on it. B'nai Yisrael, they came down to Paro and they said, we came here to live. Why? Because our animals have nothing to eat. Our sheep are starving. That's what the Pasuk says. Ask the Rav. When we come down to Egypt, we said, Paro, we came down because our sheep are starving. What about we're starving? Strange Lasha. We say to Paro, our sheep are starving? Says the Rav, yes. Because as we know, the sheep were worshipped. And right when we get to Mitzrayim, we want them to know that we're different. We're here, but our sheep are hungry. Our sheep that work for us are hungry. Paro hears that, he's like, whoa, you guys are different. Okay, go take Goshen. So right when we come down, we want to make sure, Yaakov and his sons want to make sure that the Mitzrayim know that they're different. They don't worship sheep, they use sheep. That's one thought on the Psukim. And we continue, after the Psukim, we get into the Makos. The Makos and the Makos in Mitzrayim. We discussed in past years different details of the Makos. And the Makos at the Yam Suf. And the Makos at the Yam Suf. The Gemara, even the Torah doesn't mention it. They do a Makos at the Yam Suf. Says Rav Mordechai Eliyahu in his Haggadah, on the left side of the same page. Talking about Kriyas Yam Suf a little bit. What was Paro thinking? He went through the Makos. He sees the sea split. Does he really think that he could go and there's not something going on here? Says Rav Mordechai Eliyahu. He remembered the Makos. He remembered everything. But he thought the Yam wouldn't do it to him. Because remember, what did he think about himself? I'm the god of the Yam. I'm the Nile River. I'm the god. The blood? Yeah, that was magic. But water? The water? And I also remember that God said he's never going to destroy anything with water again. I remember what he promised Noah. So Paro thinks he's invincible when it comes to water. You know what Hashem says? Bidafka. You think that you're the god of water? Your downfall is going to come through water. And parenthetically, as we turn the page, we know that the only time Moshe Rabbeinu is mentioned in the Haggadah is right here. Vayaminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe avdo. Famous question, why Moshe is not mentioned in the Haggadah. So the most obvious answer given is that we want to focus purely on Hashem. I might have mentioned it in the past years, but I once heard something a long time ago from Rabbi Pelkovitz, who said, fascinating, who was the first person in history to fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? First person in history. Moshe. Why? His kids weren't there. They were in Midyan with his wife. Yisro brings them, and Moshe tells them what happened. He for sure didn't mention his own doing, Anav Mikol Adam. So throughout history, we parallel the first person who ever fulfilled the mitzvah of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim. You got to have short ones and longer ones, because like sometimes if the Seder is moving, so you got to get like a 30-second one in, and then other times you'll have more time. So you got to have more extended and shorter ones. Okay, Dayenu. Next page. Dayenu. Okay, there's a lot to talk about in Dayenu. We always mention every year, what's the whole purpose of Dayenu? Just say, Hashem, thanks for everything. No, we go through every little detail. Explain the Mefarshim. Why? Because focusing on details is so much more meaningful. You're at somebody's house for Shabbos. You say to the hostess, everything was great, thanks. No. Everything was great. The potato kugel, hit the spot. Oh, what was the seasoning in the chalent? Oh, that was great. Everything was great, but specifically, I love how you did that chicken. When you focus on details, it's much more meaningful recognition. So we don't just say, Hashem, thanks for everything. Thanks for the mon and Shabbos and Kriyas Yamsuf and Kriya and Kabbalah Satorah and everything. Because that's real recognition. And Rabbi Lamb even says in his Agadah, on the royal table, Kriyas Yamsuf, which is mentioned right in the bit towards the middle of Dayenu, is even a transition point in Jewish history. Because if you would think about it, the Makos is what we would call Itaruta de la'ela. It's all God from above. Kriyas Yamsuf, Hashem says, you've got to take the first step. And he waits for Nachshon to go in. Isarusa de Latata. Jewish history, I started, it was all me, says Hashem. But now, you went out, you got to do Nasa Benishma, you got to commit to me, you got to jump into the water, because that's how Jewish history is going to continue. And writes Rabbi Lamb on the bottom, the great need of our day is a Nachshonian leap of faith. We all got to be Nachshons. We got to jump into what we know is right. Okay, and then we get to the end of Magid. We have Rabbi Gamliel Haya Omer. Pesach Matzah Maror. Says Rabbi Yosef Nechemya Kornitzer, the last Rav in Krakow, before the war. Left side of the same page. The Ikar Avoda of our Haggadah tonight is obviously to say thanks to Hashem. Some say that the Karban Pesach is a form of a Karban Todah. There are three reasons why someone might not say thank you. Reason number one. Well, Magieli, I deserve it. I'm the best. I'm great. Of course they have to give me. So that's Pesach. What is Pesach? We had no mitzvos in Mitzrayim. Hashem gives us a mitzvah to get some merit. Pesach al Shuma. Karma Pesach is to counter that potential claim. What's the second reason a person might not say thank you? Well, come on, what did he give me? He gave me nothing. What did he get? What did I get? Such a small thing. Matzah, we say, Hashem, we have matzah. We're happy with matzah. It's just bread and water, flour and water. We have nothing, but we appreciate. And number three, maybe we forgot what it was like before we got what we got. If we don't remember the tough times before we got what we got, we're also not going to say thank you. And that's why we eat maror. We remember what it was like beforehand. Pesach matzah maror, help us remember that we have to say thank you. Okay, we're running out of time here, but the last thought, again, afterwards, we have Hallel, Nirtza. One thought on Echad Miyodea. Again, you might want to say this during the meal, because when you're singing this, nobody might want to listen. But Echad Miyodea, we mentioned a couple of years ago, a thought from Avram Shor. Review it, it's a great thought. This is a different one. Tisha Yarche Leida. One of the things we say in Echad Miyodea is, what? Who knows nine? I know nine. Nine of the month before a baby's born. What's the kasha? That's the only one on the list that's not anything connected to Judaism. Everything else, what? We couldn't figure one out. So it's the only nine that we could figure out. What else is nine? Everything else. You got Bris Mila, we got Shabbos, and Shishas in Mishnah, 10 of the Luchos, 11 of the Star, everything. So you're stuck. Okay, that might be one answer. But says the Haggadah Talmud of Yado, Another suggestion. Three other suggestions. Number one, maybe it's alluding to learning Kol HaTar Kula with a malach in utero. 9 are the months that a baby learns Torah with a malach. Maybe that's the 9. Number one. Number two, Moshe Rabbeinu was born, as we know, after 6 months. Because the Mitzrayim checked 9 months after all the husbands came back. So 9 of the months before a baby's born in Baruch Hashem, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was saved. Because they didn't check until after 9 months. And that's when he was put into the river. And finally, the third one, which is also connected to how we end the Haggadah, the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Tzadi Ches says that the 9 months before Mashiach are going to be very, very difficult. Because that's also a birth. And as we're thinking about Geula, we just said Lashana Bar Yerushalayim, and Chag Gadya even is a remez, is a mashal to all of Jewish history. V'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'shachtu l'malach ha'maves. We also say here that Hashem, we're ready for those 9 months. We're ready for those 9 months. Tisha Yarche Leda. We're ready for them. And we have to do it in a lamaisa way. The Chashuk Echemet, Rav Zilberstein, in his Agada writes, L'shana Baba Arad Yisrael. It has to be lamaisa for us. He said he once met a farmer. And he told the farmer, you have to keep track of like when animals are born. Mashiach comes tomorrow. Which has to be miser, and which can be used as a carbon, and which is 1 year old and 2 years old. And the farmer laughed. Do we really believe that it could come tomorrow? It has to be lamaisa. Tzipisa li Yeshua is one of the 6 questions. So Tisha Yarche Leda, the 9 months, we daven at the end of the Seder when we're all on a high that it should all come b'mehir of Yamin. So everybody should have a good chodesh. I know Pesach is like 3 weeks away, but the last time that I'll be here, but there is a good chodesh, and should enjoy the zman, the time off, and enjoy wherever's going to Poland. And we'll pick up after Yantif. Pick up after Yantif. Again, the OU has the past 6 years' worth of
all the codes.